On to our second feature for today. Emma Brennan writes about murder and removing body parts for fun, which all sounds utterly ghastly. We'll reveal the truth now as it's read by Robin Quine.
With a hint of a chill in the air, most of us are starting to think about indoor pursuits for the coming season. As kids, we played outdoors, whatever the weather, but there was the odd occasion when it absolutely bucketed down outside, and Mum didn't want to be tasked with drying out drenched anoraks and soggy socks. On those days, we would gather our friends together and play a board game, usually on the sitting room floor, where there was space for us all to sit cross-legged around the board. These days, online gaming seems to have gripped the nation's youth. I guess you could argue that they are playing a game against someone else at the other end of the computer. But if you're not in the same room, I can't see how you can call it sociable. Then there's the cost of online gaming, often with monthly subscriptions, pricey consoles, and other equipment dwarfing the price of good old-fashioned board games. In our youth, we played favourites such as Monopoly over and over without getting bored, because it was different every time, and there was never any violence or virtual bloodshed involved. Not that playing board games was always totally harmonious, though, with the occasional sore loser who thought it was hilarious to cheat on the sly, causing the odd ruction. But by and large, our board games involved good-natured banter, a healthy dose of concentration, a bit of skill, and a lot of luck. For a slightly impatient kid who liked to get things done as quickly as possible, Monopoly was always a bit long-winded for my tastes, but it did have its attractions. There were lots of components which I appreciated, such as the little pieces or counters made of pewter in our original 1970s game. They included a random collection of items, such as a top hat, an iron, and a Scotty dog. For some reason, we always squabbled about who would be the battleship. Maybe it just sounded like a better tool for competition than an old boot. Then there was the pretend money, which played to my desire to run a shop. I'd often borrow the Monopoly cash to go in my toy cash register. There was the thrill of potentially owning Mayfair or Park Lane, alongside the obvious downer of being sent to jail. All very clever stuff, but the game always went on so long that one of us, usually the one who was losing, would get fed up and accidentally knock all the pieces flying from the board. My sister and I made our own version of Monopoly called Village Shops, in which the properties were replaced with different types of business, such as the butchers, bakers, newsagents, and haberdashery stores. We laboriously made and illustrated our own board, cut out and drew all of the money and various forfeit cards. It was pretty ingenious, really. I wish I'd kept it. I guess most villages don't even have shops these days, let alone games featuring them. It's refreshing, though, to hear that Monopoly is a game that has stood the test of time, according to Tom White, who runs the company Rascals, specialising in board games based on TV shows such as Mr. and Mrs. and The Wheel. He said trade had changed over the years due to the general economic situation, with the loss of some of the traditional high street retailers such as Debenhams. But he added that the general trend for board games has remained steady. He said, people say that there has been a revival in board games in recent years, but they never really went away. Monopoly and various themed versions of it, along with Scrabble, are still the most popular of the traditional board games. And we have also seen a trend towards new and quirky card-based games. My mum only remembers playing one board game as a child in the 1940s, and that was Snakes and Ladders. She does, however, recall my auntie absolutely trouncing my sister and me at draughts most Sunday afternoons. She would never let us kids win, however many times there were tears of frustration. It wouldn't do us any favours letting us win, she would insist. How things have changed in these current times of no winners or losers. In the 1970s, my auntie had a fancy-sounding compendium of games, which basically was a boxed set containing multiple classic board, dice and card games. It was sufficient to amuse my sister and me. Once we'd taken the dog for so many walks that we'd tired it out to the extent that it hid under the sofa to avoid more contact with over-exuberant children. Scrabble and Cluedo were other memorable games for me. As an aspiring journalist, even in my youth, I enjoyed Scrabble, as words were my thing. For the sheer fun of it, we absolutely loved playing Cluedo, which brought out the amateur sleuth in us all. I always wanted to be Miss Scarlet, the femme fatale, because she sounded so exotic, but usually ended up being the stern-sounding Mrs. White, the domestic servant. We did think it quite amusing that anyone would be murdered with a candlestick or a spanner, but then that was in the days before Midsomer Murders, featuring death by cheese wire or drowning in a vat of cider. One of my cousins had what I thought was a high-tech game for the 1970s, the battery-operated Operation. This involved players removing body parts from a patient on the board using tweezers without touching the sides of the cavities and triggering a buzzer. None of us excelled at Operation. The game buzzed a lot. My dad always joked that this was how surgeons were trained. During numerous hospital appointments since then, I have sincerely hoped that he was wrong.